Sin, Allah Ta'ala's disobedience. Sin, to go against Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, His orders. All of these actions, all of these things are very dangerous indeed. Very dangerous indeed. Because there are punishments attached to each and very severe punishments. Severe punishments in both this world and the Akhirah. Allah Ta'ala's disobedience, the actions of Allah Ta'ala's disobedience automatically become an adhab, a punishment for an individual both in this world and in the hereafter. But very few people are there who save themselves from sin or disobedience to Allah or save themselves or understand. Very few people. If there are two people, two individuals, two men, and both have a difference between them, one obeys Allah, ita'at, he avoids disobedience, avoids sin, follows sharia, the boundary, the framework of life, and is cautious in life. And in opposition to that individual, in comparison to that individual, there is another individual who is the same. He is healthy, eats and drinks the same, lives in the society, just like the first individual. Both live in society, live in the world. There's no difference. But the af'al, the deeds of the second individual, his deeds are very different. In stark contrast, totally the second individual lives a life of disobedience. He has no appreciation or under awareness of the sin. He's just continuing on his path of sin and disobedience. And doesn't know that my khaliq, my true khaliq, Allah, I don't listen to him. I don't follow his framework of life, sharia. So both individuals. So what's the reason there's the big difference? We have to think about it. Why? One person, he does everything according to Allah Ta'ala's hukm, Allah's order, and the other individual is totally disobedient to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and both are human beings, same species, same human race. So the reason for this is mentioned by the Quran and the Hadith. The point here is this something we should have fikr about or not? Should we worry about this or not? And our life is in front of us. It's passing and it's dangerous if we don't implement. So remember, the person who disobeys Allah and goes against Sharia and commits the sins is not a human being. Eventually the time will come when Allah Ta'ala will grab. Allah Ta'ala gives a chance, gives an opportunity, gives a chance. But we can't be safe. The question doesn't arise. The day will come. So these points, if we speak about them in a gathering, in a majlis, collectively, Alhamdulillah, then from these points, then we can understand and make our life better. But for this, we need fikr, we need worry, we need to contemplate and think and ponder that really I need to improve my life. I need to be a better person. How do I improve my life? How do I follow the straight path, the right path? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that person guidance through such a majlis, a gathering, or by going to the company of a wali of Allah. And then with this fikr, he sits in that majlis, then alhamdulillah, with this worry, when a person hears good things and good direction, he'll say, oh, these words were good. These were all very good. And if I practice on these, then my life will become improved. And that person will be improved. And what a big difference can be made. And there's another person who keeps on attending the majlis, the good company, listens, doesn't absorb, digest, think, make an improvement. Oh, I heard a speech. Oh, he said this and that. And for example, he just sat here. He said, oh, I was sat there for a few moments and the time passed away and it doesn't make any difference. Because he doesn't have the awareness. He doesn't have that appreciation. But the first person, he came to the majlis with a fikr, with a worry, with a loss feeling. I've got to improve myself. If only I can understand so that these words absorb into my heart and I can improve myself. So my brothers, as long as if we don't create fikr and worry, then how can we succeed? Which fikr should we create? That how do we correct ourselves? Who am I deceiving? Eventually, the envelope will be unraveled. And I seek forgiveness. I'm not speaking to just the people in this gathering. I'm looking from myself to far away, far and wide. Don't just think that I'm speaking to you, mashallah. Morning and evening you come and you listen to me. We keep on speaking. But the moment I'm speaking or addressing and discussing, and I think that there will be people listening, others listening, that at this moment in time. And after this, many people play it again, repeat again, and thousands of people will listen and benefit. And at this moment, the majma, a gathering, kathira, a big, big gathering, is here listening. And Allah Ta'ala set me on the member of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has given me an opportunity, and I have to fulfill the haqq of this seat, that I have to deliver the correct message to people. I have to deliver the correct message to people. And in with total yaqeen, insha'Allah. We are definitely weak, but if we have the correct intention, then we strengthen ourselves, the resolve, the actions. And alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, there are people like this. So one person, if he's rectified, alhamdulillah, if one person is rectified, improves his life, then he gets the meaning of life for the whole of his life. So the objective of this discussion is not a speech, a lecture, that we sit here with a painful heart so that we can improve our lives. This is, we are desperately in need of this. Well, this message I've just told you now, that in the last few minutes we discussed, we need to really pay attention. What life is better? Disobedience life or obedience life? Which life is better? What is the hal of a person when he sins and disobeys? What thing has the Quran and the Hadith not told us or guided us? As Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu anhu, there's a Hadith he narrated in Sahih Muslim with regards to Allah Ta'ala's disobedience. And what is it? That we reject it and we disregard it and we ignore it. It is stated that when an individual commits zina, fornication or adultery, illegal mixing with the opposite sex, then when a person does zina, he is not a mu'min at that time, a believer. What a big punishment, tell me. He's not a mu'min at that time. When a person commits theft, then the thief at that time is not a mu'min. He's not a believer. Yeah. So where has iman gone? Iman hovers. It comes out and it hovers. It's come out. So sin is such a thing that the first prey of the sin is iman. Iman is suppressed and trampled upon. So there's an effect of every sin. So the first effect of a sin is that the iman of a person is attacked, wiped away, dissolved. Dissolved. And iman. And if this is the condition of iman, then what journey will a person take on further than that? That his whole situation is spoiled. We think, oh, it's only a small sin. What difference does it make, we say? It's only a small sin. Oh, I'm just looked at the girl, just looked at the woman. There's different types of zina, the eye zina, the mouth zina, the lip zina, the ear zina, the hand zina, zina of the hands, of the ears, of the eyes. Oh, I can't leave it. It's just too much attraction for me. So how do we leave this? And how can a person commit a sin when there's such a big hadith like this? Can we speak about this sin? Even speak about it when we hear this hadith, when we read this hadith? Think about it. So upon this, now the point, asal, the real point, genuine point we need to understand is, what is the reason for this? There must be a reason that a person commits a sin. I have iman, I have belief, I have Quran, I have ahadith, I have the bayans, I have the majalis, the gatherings we attend, we listen to the bayans afterwards, and still we commit the sins? Still, such a great hadith that after this sin, a person who sins, commits zina, his situation becomes such that iman leaves that person. So what should be our condition? Oh, astaghfirullah, Allah, forgive me, such a big sin. This was my position when I do zina. I don't have iman in my heart. Iman is not there within me. So these hadith, are they sahih, correct? Or is that person crying and says, no, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter if I did this. It's only a small sin. We're okay, we're fine, and we'll be forgiven. It's okay. So what's the reason for this challenge? The Quran and the hadith explains why we challenge Allah Ta'ala's deen. And the reason for this is, brothers, if we realize the reason, then we will be successful, isn't it? Or won't we? Why does a person commit sin? And the reason is one, ghaflat. Now you can call this neglect or disregard, inattention, carelessness, lack of due attention, ignorance. And when a person's ignorant and doesn't pay any attention, he starts the sin. When a person has neglect, then he doesn't know what he's doing and he has no awareness of the sin that he's committing, the disobedience to Allah he's committing. And this is the big, big mistake of a person. So neglect and abandonment of deen. Let's understand what is neglect. Now neglect or disregard or carelessness, let's say, is not, we can't say, oh, I'm lazy, oh, I went to sleep, oh, I was careless. This is not the definition of carelessness. The right proper definition of neglect or disregard or lack of attention, we need to learn it so we can understand who is the ghafil. Allah mentions in the Quran, oh, we say, oh, he's not going to work, he's lazy. He's lazy. Or he doesn't pray Salah, he's lazy. We say, oh, he's lazy and he's not, you know, implementing Deen Islam. This is not the meaning of lazy. That these are not the things that make a person commit the sin. It's not laziness. The real genuine reason, the root cause, we need to understand so we can solve the issue. What is it? What causes a person to sin? What causes ghaflat, neglect? What causes this? What causes inattention and ignorance? Now, if I tell you the answer for this, that neglect and ignorance which causes us to sin, the reason for this, if we delve into this and ponder this, is that we have totally lost the awareness of the fact that we have to give an answer for our deeds. So the appreciation of the fact that we have to answer for our deeds. Do you understand what I'm saying? Answering for our deeds. That we have to answer to somebody. We have to account. So we have no sense of the fact that we have to give an answer to our deeds. Do you understand? So we've lost the awareness or the sense or the appreciation that we will be presented one day and we will have to answer for our deeds. Let's make it a bit easier for us to understand. So what is ignorance? What is ghaflat? All of us have to answer. Yeah. So what is ghaflat? Who is the ghafil? All of us have to answer. And who will we have to answer to? To Rabbul Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all have to answer to Allah, isn't it? We will all stand in front of Allah one day, won't we? So we all have to answer and account for our deeds to who? To Allah. And in the whole Quran, in different verses, Allah ta'ala has mentioned this to us, explained this to us. Allah ta'ala says, very soon you will come to me. I will collect you. I will gather you. I will account your deeds. Qiyamah will come. This world will be finished. The mountains will be like cotton wool. The seas will end. The earth will be folded up and thrown away. It will finish and we will come out of our graves. Then we will stand in front of our Lord Allah. And every deed of us will be presented. And my fingernails, they will bear witness. My hair will bear witness. My tongue will bear witness. My ears will bear witness. Every part of my life or my body will become strange to me. And all our limbs will testify against us. And my deeds will be weighed on the scale and put on the wazan. And haram will be shown as haram. And halal will be shown as halal. And the oppression will be asked for the account. Everything we will have to testify will against us, we'll have to answer for our deeds. What is that verse? That Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Tabaruda says, the one shar, one evil action. But we say is very small in this world, even that will be put on the scale. The shar will be put on the scale. The sin will be put on the scale. The bad action will be put on the scale. What do we call this? This is the answering we have to give to Allah. That all of our amal deeds we have to answer for on the day of judgment. Allah say, you have to answer for your deeds to me. That Allah Ta'ala said, I did not make this world without any objective. I didn't just leave you like a wild horse and run around in the wilderness, in the jungle, and that you were born and eat and drink and be merry and enjoy yourself and do what you want. Whatever you like to do as deen, take it. And whatever you want to leave from the deen, leave it. Oh, whatever is easy in Islam, we'll practice it. Whatever is hard in Islam, we'll leave it. We have to live according to the generation. What can we do? Otherwise my business will collapse. I'll fail. I'll become poor. No, Allah Ta'ala says, this is not going to happen. This will not work. Every single deed, every single, it's not our Sharia, it's not our law, it is not our life, it is Allah who is in supreme control. He is the master, director, coach, guide. We read Quran, Alif Lam Mim to Surah An-Nas. So Allah Ta'ala has given all the explanation of life and the previous nations and the punishments they got. And why did the Prophet send him? Why did Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam come? Why did Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam come? He did Tabligh. Hazrat Salih alayhi salam, Hazrat Thamud. And all, every single event Allah Ta'ala will explain. And everything will be collected and it will summarize and explain to the Ummati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what a big, big preparation Allah Ta'ala made to explain to us. He gave us such a great deen, and even after that we sin. Even after that, we're astray. Even after that, we're lost. So what's the reason for this? This is ghaflat, ignorance. In other words, the sense that we will answer to our Lord has been eliminated. We are fikr, our worry that we will answer to Allah has been wiped away. We've wiped away. So when a person loses his sense of the fact that he has to answer to somebody, then he has no worry. Oh, I don't have to answer for my deeds. I can do what I want. No one's going to ask me. I have free choice and he can do what he wants at the time. Take this person's money. Take this person's money. Oppress this person. Usurp this person's rights. Do we not have to answer to anyone? Let's take example of this shop. And in this shop, go take what you want, loot what you want. Where people not run into that shop in their masses and loot. But no, if the law is established, no. When you go into the shop, pick up the goods, go to the till, pay, take the receipt. Different system, isn't it? So this dunya, Allah made it. And Allah made the dunya with a system. Allah said, you can't just roam around and do what you want. As you feel, as you like. No, there's a framework, guidance, objective. So when we eliminate, when we don't have this understanding that we have to stand in front of Allah one day and answer for our deeds, then a person becomes a ghafil and he goes towards the sins, and openly day and night he sins. Day he sins, night he sins. He practices some things and leaves some things. He has his own life, his own framework, his own laws, his own desires, and he does what he wills, he or she. And that's it. And I'm explaining. So Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he was the Khalifa at that time, Amirul Mu'mineen, commander of the faithful, leader of the faithful, of the believers. And he was on a journey one day. And as he was on the journey, at one stage on the journey, while he was traveling, he came to such a position, such a location, he couldn't see anything for far and wide. He was hungry, thirsty, nothing, no possessions, nothing to eat. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu saw that there was like a fort, and a little bit further away from that, there were some goats and sheep. Goats and sheep. He thought, this looks a little bit promising. He was very hungry. So he went towards that location. And when he went there, he saw the goats, and he saw, where's the shepherd? And he was there underneath the tree, and the shade of the tree. The shepherd was sitting. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu went to him and said, brother, I'm very hungry, I'm thirsty. And it's not this, he didn't say, I'm Umar and I'm Amirul Mu'mineen and recognize who I am and give me respect and give me the goats. No, no. He could have said that if we follow the ways of today. Because that's what we do today. First we take the card out. Yeah, this is me, director, CEO, leader, supreme. Look who I am. I'm from this company, I'm the CEO of this company, chairman. Has the money come or not? Where's the money? Where's the profit? And this is what's happening today in the world. But here's Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of the Ummah. Look at the difference of his approach and manners and behavior. Look at the king of today and the king of that time. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu went humbly, simply sat on the ground and said, brother, I'm very thirsty, I'm hungry. Please be favorable to me, grateful to me. And do me a favor, please give me some milk from one of your goats, and you'll be a big favor of yours on me, and I'll give you some money. And he sat up. The shepherd, he didn't care who's who and Umar. He said that even if he knew who was Umar, he still would have given the same answer. He said, sorry, no. He said, look, this is not mine. This is not my wealth. These goats aren't mine. So he gave the answer straight. Mafi. Sorry. That's it. I can't give you. This is not mine. I have no permission to give. I have no link with this. Hazrat Umar said, listen to me. It's not yours. What difference does it make? It's okay. Give me some milk from the udder and I will drink some of the milk. So what will be lost? Take some money from me. I'll pay you for this. What difference will it make to you if you give me some milk? Now he speaks, the shepherd, the nomad, the villager. He said, I told you it's not mine. I'm not the Malik. I'm not the owner of these goats. I'm just the shepherd. I'm working. The Malik is somebody else. He has instructed me just to herd the goats. That's it. Listen to his words. He said that you have to herd the goats. He didn't give me any hukum further than this. I can't drink the milk myself, so how can I give you the milk? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Because I have only been ordered to herd the goats. Don't you know? Do you know? Where have you come? The Buddha, he's saying this, the nomad. And today, big muftiyan can't speak like this. The scholars and mashallah, what a big mufti must have been. The taqwa, what does it make a person? Taqwa gives the ability for somebody to become the biggest mufti. The biggest mufti is made, the person in whose heart has taqwa, the fear of Allah. So he said to Rasulullah SAW that, and the taqwa, that here's the mufti. Here's the mufti. That, for example, his heart had been improved, because the heart, if it's correct, it becomes the greatest mufti. You don't need to ask the masail and the question from the scholars. If in your heart you've got a doubt, close your eyes, think in your heart, and think what is on, then you will tussle. The heart will tussle with your desires. And then when your desires say do bad things, and there's a tussle between the heart and your desires, when there's a conflict, a clash, then consider that you are about to lose the sweetness of iman. But if you tussle and you fight over that nafs, then your iman will win over. For example, you're about to drink water, it's not yours, and you say, oh, there's a bit of a stench from here. Suddenly you will leave that water because there's a stench. It smells. And you know, maybe it's dirty, it's not good for me, maybe there are germs or bacteria in it. Same way, Allahu Akbar, muttaqi, those who fear Allah, they think a little bit, is this action wrong? Doesn't look right. And they leave the action, doesn't matter how much loss they see. This is taqwa. This is taqwa. Fear of Allah. So he started to say that I, subhanAllah, my master said that I have to herd the goats. I'm the shepherd, and you're saying, give you milk. How can I give you milk? These are not mine. They're not my property. Don't you know this? This is the trust of my malik, of my owner. This is the amana, the trust. And amana, the trust that I have to protect. I'm not the malik. I'm just looking after. I'm the protector. So the more the hukum, the order the malik gives, if he gives me permission, then I can use it. For example, give you a watch. This is, hold this in trust with me. If you wear that watch, then you are doing unlawful actions, haram. Because all I said to you was to look after the watch, not to wear it, not to utilize it. You started to wear it. I give you a car. Look after my car. Put it in your garage. I need to go away to India for some time. Then you take the car out. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Oh, what difference does it make? It's only stood in my garage. I'll take it out, drive it. What difference does it make? He's my friend. He's my man. He's not going to complain. And we start driving, utilizing. We don't know that what is the hukam, the kullun haram, unlawful. If I have an accident and pass away, straight I'll go to hellfire. Because I misused the trust. Somebody gives me money to look after as a trust. You give me someone, here, some money, please look after it for me. And you're a businessman and you invest into your business. Oh, it doesn't matter, money comes, I'll take it out of my business and give it to him. What difference does it make? He's my uncle, friend. What difference does it make? Oh, 10,000, 5,000. What difference does it make? And we'll take some money out of our business, we'll invest it, and we'll make some profit. Is this not happening in the world today? Oh, I'll tell him that, you know, I put in the business, I'll give it to him straight away when he offers it. Allahu Akbar. Where does it reach to? The amount of profit you earn. The profit you earn and the stomachs that it goes into, the money of that person you're holding in trust, you will be earning hellfire. Allah Ta'ala shows the effects of this. Allah Ta'ala definitely shows the effects in the families, in yourself, in your children. Definitely the effect will take place. And he doesn't know. So what difference does it make? I'll take the money, invested it. £3,000 he told me to look after. If I spend it, look, I owe this money to this person. He's got my money. It's okay. You try this and give this to a businessman that keep look after my £10,000 and you'll spend it somewhere. I'll spend it. Oh, bills and this and that. Oh, I'll tell my man that, oh, after I'll give to him 15,000, 20,000, somebody gave to you to look after, you spent it, invest it. Even if 100,000 is given to you to look after, you'll spend it. Invest it somewhere else and lose it. And that person, when you look at him praying, who's looking after the money, he looks like he's Junaid Baghdadi Sharifa, who's got the beard and the imam, and look at his deeds. The person who's meant to protect the trust. And the reason for this is ignorance. Ghaflat, because I don't have that awareness or feeling that I have to reply for my actions, answer for my actions. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was given the lesson that day. Who was given the lesson? The Buddha, the nomad, that what is amana? What is the trust? He said, do you not understand what I'm saying? The Buddha said. He said, this is not my property. These are not my goats. Not my animals. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu very nicely and easily is learning the lesson from that person. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was earning. And this is the trust. And trust, do we know that the Malik, as long as he doesn't give the permission, you cannot utilize what you've got in trust, is haram. How can I utilize the items? The items I've been told to look after. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he suddenly realized, he said, Subhanallah, three times he praised Allah. He said, okay, let me test this person. MashaAllah. So let's see that who is this person? Is he really MashaAllah strong? He's not a drama, is he? He's not weak, is he? He's not frail, just like the sheikh sometimes tests his murids, mashallah, the great sheikhs. Then let's see how strong is our student. Is he on the water? I can see he's elevated his status, mashallah, and he's doing a lot of practice and ibadat and worship, and he's saying his iman is strong. Let me test my student. The mashaykh, they do this. Why? Because they're not having the student to earn for the world. They don't have enmity for the sake of dunya. Subhanallah, the sheikh, he's favored the student. He's taking him to the right path. So he tests the student. He tests the student. So has Umar radiallahu anhu understood? Now let me test this individual. He said, listen here. Come here. He said, look, forget this. He said that, you know, when people, for example, sometime he's trying to fool somebody else, then within a minute he goes against what he said and his principles. He said, oh, what are you doing? So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu tried to encourage him and said that, look, what are you saying that you can't give them these animals? There's no one here, no one looking. Where's your Malik? Where's your owner? He's not here. Just listen to me carefully. Listen to me clearly. Do this, that I'll give you another path, another solution. And you'll get a lot of reward for serving the Musafir traveler. See how shaitan, how he comes from different angles. You'll get a lot of benefit. There's a lot of thawab. You are serving the Musafir, helping the traveler. A lot of good things that if you fill his stomach, the traveler, and you'll get, you're wasting your opportunity to get a good deal. Let me tell you an easier solution. Has almost said that I'm giving you money. So sell me the goat. Sell me the goat and I'm paying for it. Subhanallah. That this goat you sell to me, and I've got to travel further than here, then I'll give you the full market value, the price of the goat. You take the money, you give me the goat, and I'll give you du'as, and I'm a musafir, and I'll feel hungry, thirsty, and I'll take the milk of the goat. And mashallah. So you'll be successful, and I'll tell you further than that. You know, like sometimes we wink, and I'll give you another method, another way out, that in the evening when you go to your malik, to your owner, and you keep the money in your pocket. And this is the normal thing that, you know, I was going here and there, and you know the wolf, and he took the goat, and he devoured it, and he'll believe you, and he'll believe you. He's not going to doubt you. He's not going to say you're wrong. And he said, do this. Subhanallah, he was listening, the worker, the shepherd, and he was, mashallah, a man of intellect. And what did he say as in response? That, mashallah, maybe we'd be influenced, that, okay, I'll do this, it's all right. Nobody's looking, but this is how shaitan attacks. But what did he do? He said, okay, fine. Fine. What are you trying to tell me? He said, what I'm saying is that your malik will never find out. As Umar said, he's not looking. He doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't know you're going to give me the goat. Then he said, you're totally right. My malik is not here. My employee, boss, but where is Allah? Where is Allah? Allah, my malik, my boss isn't, my employer is not looking, but Allah is watching, who is a link with you and me and the goats. The owner of me and you and the goats. Who's going to answer to Allah? Subhanallah. This is the understanding. This is the sense and the awareness and the appreciation that we have to answer to our Lord. As Umar radiallahu anhu stood up and did dua to Allah straight away, that Allah, Subhanallah. As long as in your ummah, in this ummah, there are individuals who have this deep sense and deep appreciation of the fact that they have to answer to you, Allah, then Umar says that inshallah, as long as there are people like this ongoing, then until Qiyamah, our ummah cannot be spoiled. Even if there's one person like this in the ummah of the Muslims, then nothing can spoil or affect the ummah of the Muslimin. So what's the reason? So do you understand now what is the meaning of the ghafil, ghaflat, that within us we have lost the sense that we have to answer to our Lord. We say, oh, I'll go on the Day of Judgment and answer to Allah. My friends, this is not a story. Jackanory, ask those people who realize all night long in the court of Allah, tawbah, istighfar, for those sins that they have not even committed. So much fear and awareness and appreciation and sense that how will I stand in front of Allah and answer for my deeds? How will I answer to Allah? How will I do right? If we oppress somebody, if we take somebody's rights, if we eat somebody's wealth, that insan who doesn't even have the awareness that we say, I'll just tell you a little example, not that it's totally gone, not that it's wiped away, even if a letter comes to our door, yeah? That tomorrow morning, we're going to have an audit, an inspection by the HMRC, the VAT department, the VAT department, or the tax collector. The HMRC tax collector is going to come tomorrow morning, 0800. They're going to come to your workplace to audit your deed, your books, your records all night long. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka. Hazrat, do dua for me. Tell me wazifa. What shall I recite? What tasbih shall I do? They're coming tomorrow morning to check my accounts. Oh, open the factory all night long. They're sitting. Where's that paper, that check? They're coming tomorrow. Where's the statements? They've given us a notice tomorrow morning. Short notice. We're going to come tomorrow. Look at your whole last year's accounts, VAT, how much you've paid, what you owe. All night long, we'll stay awake. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka. Should the children pray? Shall the elders pray? Should we pray standing? Nafil salah, sitting down. Give me a ta'weez, Shaykh. Do dua for me. This is cool. Awareness. In other words, Allah is far, but the HMRC tax inspector is closer to our heart and our fear. And we are Muslims. Can we live like this ongoing? Do we have the sense that we will give Allah Ta'ala an answer on the Day of Judgment? Do we want to continue our lives like this? Do we want to be presented to Allah in this way? Without any appreciation that Allah is watching and Allah is near. But this is the sifat we have within us. The quality and the attributes we have within us. We are joking ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves. We are totally like this. If this is our condition and we pass away and we are presented to Allah, Lord, Allah will say that the tax inspector, the VAT inspector, HMRC, you urinated when you heard his name, he's coming tomorrow morning, and you remembered him all day, and you never remembered me. And you never even remembered for a day that you're going to come to your Lord Allah and you have to present your accounts on the Day of Judgment. Did you not remember that? Your hands and your fingers and your tongue and your eyes and everything was to testify against you. You should have said, Allah, I have sinned. Allah, forgive me. And please create within me the appreciation so I can do istighfar and be saved. so I can prepare for that day when I present my deeds to you and my accounts to you. My brothers, that's why we go to the awliya Allah, the waliz of Allah. We don't go for wearing imamah, to grow the beards, to adorn our faces. Rather, we go to make our hearts. That's why we go to the company of the wali, the mashaykh, the sheikh, the teacher. I say, don't go to a sheikh if you don't have to. Don't. I say this in the same way as my Hazrat Rahimahullah Ta'ala stated. I don't have no status, I'm just delivering the message. So if a person is sinning and doing evil actions and is running his business in an unlawful way, but his face and his appearance, and he says that I'm the murid, the student of this sheikh, he's speaking nonsense, he's lying, he will come into adab. The murid, the teacher, the student of a Naqshbandi sheikh is that real student who follows Sharia. But if he's a liar, a fraudulent student who is dishonoring the silsila, the series and the sheikh and his students, and he's deceiving people, committing fraud, and he's got the outward appearance of a Muslim, he's a fraudster, he's a juggler, he's a liar, and you'll get double the punishment if someone claims that I'm the murid, I'm a student of this sheikh, and he's committing sins. No, he cannot be the true student. The true student is he who follows the advice and education of the teacher and he leaves the sins. Don't deceive yourself. Don't lie to people. Oh, I'm the student of this sheikh, and send them, people come. Oh, you know your murid, your student, he devoured our wealth and money. We've come to collect the money from you. My murid? My student? And he takes your money? How can he be my murid? No, he's not my student. No. He says he's your student. He's got a beard. He wears the sunnah libas attire. We've seen him. Look at his lifestyle. He's got haram in his life. In his workplace, he does this and that. And he's your murid. He's your student. Does this happen or not? Tell me. So this is the announcement. The mashayikh of Naqshbandi, from there, on their behalf, I announce, because I don't have no status, that student is a liar. He has no link with the sheikh. He's lying and committing a fraud. Because the true student who has done tawbah, the student who becomes the murid, he does tawbah. And when he does tawbah, repents, he says, I want to do this sin and this sin. And we recite these verses and these kalimats, that if a person, a student, doesn't do tawbah, he's not a Naqshbandi. He hasn't done bayah. He hasn't done tawbah. The meaning of tawbah, la yushrikuna bi shayin. That go, as Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah Mumtahinna, that the believing woman will come, oh my Prophet, and they will promise to you that I won't commit the sin, I will not murder, I will not do zina, not to do adultery, not backbite, and do salanda, etc. These are the verses of the Quran. And when they commit those promises and make the pact, then that person becomes the murid, or muridni, the student. But if we carry on doing the sins, shaitan actions, people in the world see that this person's got gatherings, majma, not just one, mounds and stacks of sins every day, all day, and they put a board and a sign, I'm a Naqshbandi, he's the biggest thief. Don't trust that person. Don't trust that person. No one can be my murid if he's adorning his face with the beard and the imamah and wearing sunnah libas. Everyone in the world's doing this. Look towards the heart of that person, his character, his akhlaq, his behavior. Then you can say, ah, you're my peer, boy, you're the true student. If you look at his wealth and money, this is drama. Don't look at his prayer and his libas. This is a topic, that's why I'm telling the truth. The truth, straightforward. My brothers, do you think that this is a small thing to dishonor the wali of Allah and his akhlaq and his series and his silsila? If you don't pray your salah in a masjid, how can you be a Naqshbandi? How? Think. How can you call yourself a Naqshbandi? You don't pray salah in the masjid. That the first step of yours is wrong. Your ma'mulat, your deeds are wrong. Astaghfirullah. You're destroying yourself. Destroying yourself. So this is the difference between genuine and fake. If a person has the awareness that he has to answer to Allah, that's why we go to the friends of Allah, the mashayikh, so we can create the awareness within us that we have to answer to Allah. They give us such a pearl and a pill and medicine, the wali of Allah, the sheikh, the student, that it starts to create in our heart a deep-rooted sense that we have to answer to Allah. And then you'll leave the sin. I'll leave the sin. And then we'll work hard to leave the sins. And we will take the burden and the loss in the world. Allah Ta'ala says that I test my believer. Allah says when a person does tawbah, he repents and he comes close to Allah. Allah says I start to test that person. I test that person. I give that person trials and challenges. And paradise is not cheap, my brothers. Lam yadkhulul jannata. Allah says, do you think you're just going to enter into Jannah easy? Just walk to sujood, to prostration, and you run into paradise? Allah says, no, it's not that easy. You have to work, make effort. Allah says, I want to see that how you sacrifice the things that are beloved to you in the world, your wealth, your money, your status. Allah says, I want to see how you dissociate from those things that are stuck to you. Allah says, you want to enter into paradise? This is the right way. You have to make effort. You have to sacrifice your desires. You have to lower yourself, have humility and humbleness. Leave. Empty your heart. Don't bring into your heart. Empty your heart. When a person comes into tasawwuf, rectification, purification, leave this. To this extent, you have to leave the children, the family, the wife, but you don't physically leave them. You empty out their desperate love from your heart so that you have the love of Allah. You love the family, the wife, the children, and the dunya, and your earnings and your status and your wealth, as long as what is necessary for you. Not over the top that you compromise everything for the Allah's deen for the sake of dunya. No. So if you don't empty the heart with the love of the dunya, then how will you earn the love of Allah? You have to empty everything so that you empty it, so that there's a void for Allah Ta'ala to come to. So this is a great path. We have to have the deep-rooted sense that we have to answer to Allah. We have to create the appreciation and the attention that Allah. So otherwise that, subhanAllah, look at that shepherd. He was a great man. He gave the answer to us. He taught us the lesson of taqwa, fear of Allah. And do opportunities not come in our life, that there's a chance to do fraud and there's a tussle inside. And I say to myself, no, it's okay, I can do this, but the heart says, no, this is wrong. There's the tussle. So ghaflat, the ghafil. Allah Ta'ala has still, mashallah, given us the way to solve this problem. And Allah Ta'ala has created a solution to eliminate ghaflat, disregard, neglect. That those people who will have come into the trap of shaitan, whose nafs is big, who are sinning and like sinning. Allah Ta'ala said, I've prepared for these people that they can correct themselves. Look at this. This is a good point. So we can correct ourselves. But the person who's stubborn, he's Fir'aun. Because Fir'aun didn't understand that Allah Ta'ala said that, look at this situation here. That one miracle was shown. That today Fir'aun, at that time Fir'aun was shown many miracles. And today a person, how will he understand? By looking at the teacher, the sheikh, and understand. Look at, if a person doesn't listen, the Fir'aun, he didn't listen to the guidance that Musa explained to him. And he saw miracles that make this, they do this, this, and the people are said, and all called the magicians. He didn't want to believe. And even then Musa alayhi salam had an answer. Then he did another thing, then Musa alayhi salam had an answer, then Musa alayhi salam threw his staff. In other words, the magicians believed. The magicians believed. The people who did the witch actions, etc., they believed. But because Fir'aun didn't want to accept, he stayed as Fir'aun. He stayed as a sinner. So the person, even in this day and age, who doesn't want to believe, you can speak to him, give him waaz and lecture and dhikr, and give him dhikr, but he's, the needle is going to stay there in the heart. The needle and that gauge is going to stay there. Not going to listen. Not going to move. And Fir'aun didn't move. So eventually what happened? Then he realized, this is the situation. And this is the conclusion that Fir'aun then drowned. Then he realized when he drowned and he was ready to put his hand up. We say, oh, what mistake did I make? I don't know what mistake I made. I'm being punished and I ain't got no way out and I've got problems. Allah Ta'ala says that I've prepared for those people, those magicians who were stubborn. Musa, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he went to explain to who? To explain to Fir'aun. To Fir'aun. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he didn't have a link with those magicians, and the magicians were opposing Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And what was the subject of attention? Fir'aun. But subhanAllah, that the subject of attention and the proof for Fir'aun, those people who were meant to prove the disbelief of Fir'aun, they suddenly brought about iman. In other words, they suddenly had the recognition and awareness that they have to believe and answer to Allah. In other words, I'll give you an example. They go there, there's a wali of Allah there, and I'll take you, and inshallah you'll sit with him and you'll listen to him and you'll be corrected. And you can't even see that person's got attention. The person who's bringing the sinner to the teacher, he didn't have a niyyah himself that he wanted to be corrected. Come on, brother, let's go. I'll take you to a wali of Allah. I'll take you. Come with me. And what happens? The person who's being taken, he doesn't accept, but the person who brought that person, he accepts the company and the good words that are coming, the good advice, because he had the capacity to be better. He wanted to be better. So this is the point we need to think about. That how long does it take? 50 years, 30 years, 40 years? No, it doesn't take years. It takes moments. In the first few moments, if you don't understand the guidance and the coaching from the wali of Allah, even the first sitting, the first few gatherings, you cannot understand, then you will never understand. For 50,000 years, you'll stay as Fir'aun because your niyyah was not correct. You will say that, I don't want to be correct. Say whatever you want. I'm all right. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. What have I done wrong? Don't tell me. Worry about yourself. Worry about yourself. What did I do wrong? I'm okay, I'm fine. You keep on telling me I have to do this and deen and Islam. So 50 years he will not believe, but the person who wants to be corrected will come in the door, sit down in the majlis, listen, and alhamdulillah, he will wipe away his previous sins. He said, this is the right path, honesty, and I'll do this. And I'll take the burden that comes. Because after that, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi stated that we have to keep on giving and giving on the path of Deen, Islam, Tasawwuf. You have to keep on giving and giving. It's not about taking, it's about giving. You have to make effort that we say, oh, I'm a murid, I'm the student of the Shaykh, and I want to obtain more and more and more. But we have to give, we have to give, we have to make effort. And what do we get? Everything will go. Your heart will be emptied of the love of the dunya, and Allah Ta'ala's love will come into that. Because the place was empty. You've emptied, isn't it? You've emptied the heart for Allah. So Allah says, now you've emptied your heart. Now your maqam's made. Hey, take the tajalli in my nearness and the iman and the sweetness of iman. So what do we need to do for this, brothers? Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us. He's given us two solutions for this. How we can create a deep-rooted sense and awareness that Allah is watching, and we have to answer to Allah. If I want to create myself, not be like Fir'aun and be lost and drowned and lose out. So there are two things Allah Ta'ala has given to us. And then if I take this, the question doesn't arise that I'll remain in an empty box. I will be successful. I will change my life for the better. And it won't be one or two different characters within me. There'll be one. So number one solution is the company of the Shaykh. Sohbat the Shaykh. The Quran tells us this. Advises us this. Allah Ta'ala says that the company of the Wali of Allah. And this is the great ni'mah. Our Hazrat said this. And number two, dhikr Allah. Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. The person who has these two things and he is not corrected, then all his life the Quran will not correct the person, the masjid will not correct the person, he can attend the masjid, nothing will correct him, he is Fir'aun. So if you have the company of the Shaykh, the teacher, and dhikr of Allah, and you don't change your life for the better, then you will drown like Fir'aun. The Quran tells us this. The person who has these two things, Allah Ta'ala gave us these two things to be corrected, improved, changed for the better. Allah gives us this, not me, not ourselves. And after attaining the sohbat, if I've got the company of the Wali of Allah, I've attended his gatherings, his company, like my Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi said, in four words at that time. As I said, this is the great ni'mah, the greatest gift, azim great gift of Allah, to have the company of a Shaykh. Number two, Allah and His Prophet ﷺ become happy with that person, subhanAllah. Number three, the heart, it becomes nurani, full of light and wisdom. And just who is telling us? The guarantee, the host, the wali of his time, my Shaykh Hazrat Sahib. I'm selling you his words in this gathering. Listen carefully. This is the biggest ni'mah, the company of the Shaykh. And the Prophet of Allah ﷺ and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become happy with that person. And the heart becomes illuminated. And his akhirah, his hereafter, is made. The four benefits of the company of a Shaykh and the dhikr of Allah. Because when the wali of Allah speaks, it's from Allah. It's not from him. And this is the stamp, the seal on the paper. Tuck. That this will happen. So tell me, if you have the company of a Shaykh, of a true wali of Allah, and you do dhikr of Allah, and you get these four rewards, and despite this, you stay as a sinner, then tell me, is that person a Fir'aun or not? He is a total Fir'aun, a solid Fir'aun, and he's waiting to be drowned. To drown. And those who desire, who want to be good, they haven't got to the extreme of the sin, then the door is still open for them. So now you can question, that how can we go, how do I find the company of a Shaykh, how do I find a good company, how do I learn dhikr? Allah Ta'ala said, don't worry, do istighar about a wali of Allah. Who says, inshallah, I need guidance, Allah explain to me, guide me, who shall I go to? Inshallah, automatically the guidance will come to you. And such a place you will get to, that when you hear his words will come to your heart, they'll penetrate, you'll enjoy and like what he's saying. Because the first condition, that if you want to benefit from the company of the Shaykh, let me tell you, this is tasawwuf, I'm teaching tasawwuf, this is the gathering of tasawwuf, that if the Shaykh is there, the teacher, like I'm telling you, here's a Shaykh here, here's a Shaykh here, here's a Shaykh here, there are different Shaykhs, but where will you benefit from? Note this, put this down in your books. Where will you benefit? Number one, you will benefit from that Shaykh, from the many Shaykhs, that if the between you and the Shaykh there is compatibility, munasabat. If you and the Shaykh, there's no compatibility, then you will not benefit. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah sometimes will tell people who wanted to become a student, potential student, that there's no point you continue coming here. Go to another teacher, otherwise you won't get any benefit. It's not about force. As long as there's not compatibility, and if you're not benefiting, you don't feel enjoyment and happiness in sitting in this gathering, and if all his words are not penetrating your heart and absorbing your heart and your life, the color of your life, your actions and behavior and conduct is now taking the form of the teacher, and your benefit is not. So for example, you don't understand what I'm saying? For example, let's take your wife and you. If you and your wife don't get on, then it will be like boxes clattering into each other. But if you get on, then mashallah, Jannah will be made. So the student, if he has compatibility, just like the husband and wife have compatibility, if the husband has compatibility with the wife, then there's goodness in the life and everything. But if the student doesn't have compatibility with the Shaykh will advise and instruct, and the student goes opposite. So he's sitting there by force, brothers, then there's no benefit for this. then there's no benefit of this. So the benefit here is that if the shaykh is explaining and he doesn't take the student, then this is not compatibility. If the shaykh has said and he takes and accepts, that's the beautiful. The shaykh explains, guides, coaches, directs, and the student says, MashaAllah, Hazrat Shaykh, my teacher said such a beautiful thing. I've got benefit. I understand. He's giving me guidance and I really like it. I understand it. I'm going to practice it. So brothers, this is the way, the method to make our hereafter. And that's when our world and the hereafter will become better. To take the company of the Wali of Allah and to implement dhikr of Allah. So what will end then? I'll come back towards the topic and summarize. So what will happen? You've got company of the teacher and you do dhikr of Allah. Then this will wipe away ghaflat, negligence, and abandonment, and then you'll get the deep-rooted sense that you have to answer for your deeds. So what will we gain from when we go to the teacher, the shaykh, and learn from his diagonals? That we will have a deep-rooted sense that we have to answer to Allah. Oh, it's okay, do this. No, I can't. But it doesn't make a difference. Someone's watching. No, I have to answer to Allah. Subhanallah. What a great life will be made. So your standard will be made, and nobody will come in between. I have to answer to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, I can't do this. No, I can't do this. Say, no, it doesn't matter who's watching. What difference does it make? No, I have to give the answer to Allah. A brother. And he will say, no, do it. It's okay. No one's watching. No, I have to answer to Allah. I can't lie. And I can't take your wealth. I can't consume your wealth. I can't say bad to this person. I can't swear to this person. Oh, and this person, look, she just swore at you. Does it make, what difference does it make? You answer her back. No. She or he backbited. I have to answer to Allah. I won't take the revenge. Not tit for tat. Mafi. And so you'll understand that within you, the recognition and awareness has become alive, and that person becomes like the shepherd at the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he's reached to this maqam. So brothers, we have to make effort, we have to work hard. If you've attained a shaykh and you've got dhikr, then do muhasabah and analyze that. If I've got a shaykh and dhikr of Allah and my wali, that my teachers guided me, give me the formula, and I still sin, then I'm like Fir'aun. Why don't I go towards Allah? Why am I not closer to Allah? Do I want to get drowned, and while I'm drowning I will repent? No, I should create that tawbah and repentance with me. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. And these are words of pain and depth of the heart and passion. Brothers, we need to fikr and worry, because when the veil comes and death comes, then these words will reverberate in our head. Oh, this person told us, I should have listened. I remember a point, there was an individual and something happened to him with his brother, and it was a negative incident, and that time he then took the step to improve his life. Allah Ta'ala helped him, and then the step he took, and this is his statement, he said that your bayan, I was listening to your bayan and the bayan was rotating in my mind and it was vibrating, echoing, and I swear by Allah, it was like that bayan had penetrated my body. And it was 5 or 6 years before that I'd had the bayan, and that bayan had made me so active and energetic that you were giving a message that do this, you were directing me, advising me, and I did that action and my life improved for the better. And these are the people who in their mind the words they rotate. Brothers, don't miss these words, these advices, because they will be beneficial big time. Otherwise we should understand, I shouldn't do this action. We should create the awareness and recognition of our Lord. The Shaykh was speaking, the guide was speaking, and it was the Quran and the Hadith speaking, that why am I sinning? Why am I doing wrong? Are we not to die? Are we not going to die? So we have to create the awareness, and that's it. And then you'll stop the sins. And say, no, I've got to leave the sins. That's it. And then you'll be saved. We'll be saved.